Penny, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Victor.
So the bill was delayed earlier this week with the Premier, who is actually also a co-sponsor, asking for more time for some in her party to consider the change. When do you expect movement on this bill?
Well, we're going to have movement in approximately 40 minutes. We're getting ready for Alex Greenwich to introduce the bill and do the first speech, which we call the second read of the bill, literally this morning. It's looking around 10:30 this morning. People are keen. They can watch it online. So that'll be the start. And then next week, there'll be a debate in the lower house with the MPs. And if we're, you know, we're very hopeful that we'll pass it and it'll make its way to the upper house in a couple of weeks.
Right. So I'm sorry, that is new information for me. So from what I was reading, it was expected to not be in until next week. Has there been some movement from the Premier on that front?
Look, the way in which the bills are introduced is can be complex and sometimes it's ever-changing. But no, the good news today is that Alex has given notice on behalf of the 15 MPs that are co-sponsoring the bill. He literally is going to be on his feet at about 10:30 to introduce the bill. That will probably take about half an hour or so. But then nothing else will happen. The full debate will start next week.
Right. And for those not familiar with the workings of the state parliament, how long do you think it would usually take until the vote may occur?
It's a very good question. How long is a piece of string? But look, in relation to these matters, for people who are not familiar, this is a very unusual circumstance, the way that these bills will be passed, which is that each individual member of parliament has what we call a conscience vote. That means they're not bound by their party. And that means that really, because it's an issue that people on all sides of the debate feel very passionately about, we can expect a lot of speakers. We can expect that it will take a long time because MPs really take the time to put on the record why they're voting a certain way. So I'd anticipate long, late nights next week as the bill makes its way through the parliament.
Mm. And those seeking terminations can be prosecuted under the law right now, and those facilitating abortions can also face criminal penalties. Do we know if these laws have been pursued in recent memory?
Look, they have. There's been some recent cases. It is fairly rare, that is true, but there have been some cases most recently. In 2017, a woman was prosecuted for basically self-administrating an abortion on herself. Is a terrible case. And in the past, there have been some doctors that have been charged. The real issue here is that the way that we regulate a medical procedure like abortion doesn't belong in the Crimes Act. It belongs in the Health Care Act, where it should be, where there's clear certainty for doctors and for women as they're seeking this very important health care.
Now, the bill will not be unchallenged, however, with pro-life advocates like the Finance Minister Damien Toodhope saying the community will not stand for the bill, warning it would deliver an unjust and illiberal law. This is despite most polling showing around 80% support for access to abortion in Australia. How long is this so-called pro-life, how strong, rather, is this so-called pro-life sentiment in the New South Wales Parliament?
Well, I suppose that's going to be tested in coming days. But look, I have to say that there are people who feel very strongly and do not agree with what we're trying to do here, and that's their right, and they're able to argue their position. There's a small but very strong group of what I call anti-choice MPs who I think will fight very hard on this bill. But I do think they are out of step with mainstream people in New South Wales. This is, everyone, and polling has consistently shown that women and men across this state support the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies and their own lives, and to be able to make choices in relation to that. So I think that they are out of step, but they are a strong and significant group, and we can expect very strong opposition to this bill.
Mm. And many advocates are saying that it is time for law reform in this area. Why do you think New South Wales is one of the last Australian jurisdictions to make this move?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, these laws have been on the books for over 119 years. Look, I think it's just been the conservatism within the parliament for a long time. We've obviously had some very strong anti-choice activists and MPs, people like the Honourable Reverend Fred Nile, who've been in the Parliament a long time and have been able to really push back on any attempts to try and make this change. I think there's a couple of things that have got us to this point. One has been decades of activism from, you know, many people, particularly feminist activists. We've got women here who are in their 80s who will be sitting in the gallery today. They've been trying to deal with this issue for a very long time. But I think also the other states have moved on this. So South Australia's still tidying up their laws, but everywhere else, abortion's no longer in the Crimes Act, most recently in Queensland. And I think, New South Wales has been slow, but we're moving forward. And look, the other point that I want to make is I just think that the increasing number of women in Parliament has really, really helped us bring this forward. It's been a long time where our parliaments are dominated by men. This is often just seen as a women's issue. It obviously isn't. But women MPs really know the stories and care deeply about it and are willing to give it a big push.
Well, Penny, I wish you well for those long nights coming up in the Parliament. I hope there is a late night coffee shop or something around. And thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.